our teachers getting the best education before getting in front of the classroom? A new report by the think tank the New Zealand Initiative says the current university model of teacher education has major flaws. These include, it says, an insufficient focus on the science of learning, too little practical classroom experience for trainee teachers, inconsistent mentoring of trainees, and poor preparation of primary teachers to teach across the curriculum, especially in mathematics and science. The report co-authors Stephanie Martin, a primary school teacher and adjunct fellow at the New Zealand Initiative, and Michael Johnston, former Victoria University Associate Dean and former senior statistician at the Qualifications Authority, now a senior research fellow at the New Zealand Initiative. Michael's with us now. Morena, Michael.
Good morning.
Your co-author, I think, this in part stimulated by her own experience, yeah?
Yes, she came out of her teaching degree in about 2016 and felt somewhat ill-prepared for the classroom, especially in core content knowledge and the way in which to teach it to young people.
She made the point that she'd had some experience at one year level but then got a job at a different year
level.
That's
right.
And she did not feel prepared to teach across the age groups from her teacher trainer.
I think that's right. Now, some of that is actually probably due to the curriculum itself, which is a fairly loose document and doesn't have a lot of progression in it to guide teachers. But I think also there's just too little time in the university courses devoted to ensuring that primary school teachers understand the full curriculum. And there was some research out of the Royal Society a few years ago on primary school teachers' preparedness to teach mathematics and numeracy, and that was found pretty lacking. A lot of teachers found that they didn't have the confidence or the knowledge in those areas.
I think the words used by one author of that report was it was a damned mess.
I think that was Gavin Martin.
Right. But let's just break this down, because there's different components. There's the how you teach. There's
yes.
the science of how students learn and therefore how best to teach in the classroom. There's the curriculum content itself. There's various components to this. What was your starting point for the report?
Well, actually, the starting point was to visit the New Zealand School of Graduate the New Zealand Graduate School of Education in Christchurch, and the initial intention was that we'd just do a little report on what they do, but it quickly became apparent that there was such a contrast between what I would say is their exemplary model of teacher education and the university model, which I had some familiarity with, having been in a faculty of education myself for 10 years, although not involved in those programs, that we really needed to write a full report on the whole scenario.
And so how did you do that?
Well, one of the things that we did was to survey all of the university courses. There are about 220 across all of the programs run by New Zealand universities. And we did a thematic analysis of them to see what their content was like.
220 courses. Courses being what?
So that's, you know, a course within a program. So you might do half a dozen courses within the teacher education program. Some have more than others because some have options and so on. But
they are basically the chunks.
They're
of
the
teacher
chunks.
Education.
That's right.
And what variants did you find across the different universities? What was consistent or obligatory, and then what
is very clear is that there's a huge skew in the underpinning philosophy of these courses. So a lot of courses are what you would call social constructivist in orientation. And what that means is that they're geared towards young people, children, constructing their own knowledge, often in collaboration with one another. And critically, that positions the teacher in a more facilitatory role than is primarily responsible for leading learning
student
in the classroom.
Student-led learning, that kind of thing.
Exactly, that kind of thing. And it's in stark contrast to the way Dr. Kevin Knight, the head of the New Zealand Graduate School of Education, describes the importance of teachers being causal in learning. And that's a very, very key commitment
that they have. That is the John Hattie, another researcher
that's right.
whom we referenced, now based in Australia, but referenced also. The single most important component in the outcome for a student is the quality of the teacher.
And right. the teacher seeing okay. themselves as absolutely instrumental in the process.
Can we just talk about this particular institution you talk about and that you regard as exemplary?
Yes.
Where does it sit in the overall suite of courses available? What's its
Well, they teach, they have both a primary program and a secondary program. They've just commenced both programs at level 8 of the New Zealand qualifications framework. So that's a bit of an upgrade from the previous level 7 qualifications.
And is that a private institute, however? It's not a university.
That's okay, right. So it's one of very few non-university providers in the country of school level.
So you looked across these courses. I asked the question, what is it that is compulsory? Are all teacher trainees required to learn child development, for example?
No, there are no requirements like that on the programs as such. So they vary quite a lot.
Principles of reading, how children learn to read, are they required
to
learn that?
They'd all have that in them, but there are no compulsory elements placed on universities themselves. Universities develop their own courses and programs, and really the thing that conditions what they do is the standards of the teaching profession. So every teacher has to register with the teaching council, and after 2 years they get their full certification, at which point they have to meet the standards. So that's what conditions the way in which teacher education courses are put together in the end.
We'll get into the details of what you say is flawed, but do you have an opinion in the first instance about the big move that happened decades ago now, away from specialised colleges of education to a university-based structure? Do you have an observation?
Well, I think that that didn't do teacher education any good, and that's largely because teaching is one of many, many focuses that universities have. It was the only thing that teachers' colleges did. So the university don't necessarily prioritise teacher education. They don't necessarily see it as a very important thing that they do. For example, in the recent funding cuts, Victoria University very nearly cut its secondary
teachers. Well, that was based on cost. Apparently training secondary teachers is very expensive.
It's expensive and it's not highly prestigious the way law or medicine is.
But does that mean that they don't care? I mean, do you have any evidence that they don't?
I'm not saying they don't care. They've just got many, many priorities that compete for their funding, and whereas the Teachers College was just doing that. Now, I'm not saying that the Teachers College model was something that we should return to, but I would like to see more standalone providers like the New Zealand Graduate School, which is actually not that similar to the way a Teachers College was. They have a different philosophy to what they had too. So,
all right, let's look and work through it, what you found and how. So you analysed the 220 courses across these institutions, what we've called the chunks or the building blocks of the qualification the teacher's going to have when they come out. What were your conclusions? What were the flaws you've identified?
Well, as I said, the guiding philosophy is very much social constructivist, as you say, you know, child-led learning, this kind of idea. Now, we're not saying that there's no place for that, but what was starkly missing was any focus on the science of learning. So we saw just two courses out of 220 that seemed to have anything to do with that.
Is that the word pedagogy, or is it different?
Pedagogy is an approach to teaching. So that's a general term. So you might have a pedagogy which is guided by social constructivism, or one that's guided by the science of learning.
So the science of learning is more specific?
Yes, so the science of learning comes out of cognitive psychology, which is actually the discipline in which I did my PhD. So this is the science of human information processing, human memory, attention, language, perception. So it really, when it's applied to teaching, it tells us how to structure an approach so that it is optimised for the human brain, essentially.
One of the concerns you have is the frequent use of one word versus another word, and one of the words that appears most frequently in the written literature of these courses is the word diverse and diverse learners. Now, does the science of learning account for what we now know is a major issue in every classroom, which is neurodiversity, or indeed just the social components in how a child may learn, or a learning environment? When you talk about the science of learning, is it a diverse discipline?
Well, it actually focuses on what's universal about how humans learn. And I think that that's a necessary balance to this idea of diversity. I mean, on the social front, quite often we draw, I would say, pretty unnecessary divisions between students in terms of what they might need. There are assumptions made about their cultural backgrounds and so on.
What about the neurodiversity?
I'll come to that. It's worth just pointing out first that actually there is more that makes human beings the same than there is that divides them in terms of these learning mechanisms. And so I'm not saying there's no place for the kind of social focus, but it's way out of whack.
You call it social. I would say actually that is the science of learning. And if we are learning more about neurodiversity and
So to come to the neurodiversity question, I mean, take, for example, dyslexia. So this is a problem that some children have in learning to read. And I used to do some research in this area, and its causes are still not particularly well understood, but it is known that there are a handful of kids who really, really struggle to learn to read. But it turns out that the best method to teach them is the same as the best method for teaching everybody, which is structured literacy. Now, structured literacy is an element of the science of learning. It's been informed by those understandings.
Okay. So the science, what I'm trying to get at, is the science of learning that you're concerned does not have a sufficient focus, is keeping up with new research.
Well, it largely is that new research.
Okay. Let's move on. What else did you find or identify as being flawed?
Well, so the way in which the practicum experience, this is the classroom experience that teachers in training get during their programs, it's insufficient in quantity. And again, that contrasts with the New Zealand Graduate School of Education, where they're close to full time in the classroom. But that's not the biggest flaw, actually. The biggest flaw is how they're mentored while they're there. So under the university model, we have associate teachers who are classroom teachers who are responsible for a teacher in training during their practicum. And any teacher who is fully certificated with as little as 2 years' experience themselves can become an associate teacher. There's no qualification to do it. There's no training to do it. And some of them are very, very good, but some of them aren't. And so there's no quality control on it.
And that's their main exposure. Because, again, coming back to former models, things like the teaching of science, the teaching of reading, the teaching of mathematics would have been in structured specific classes as part of teacher training, again, going back decades.
Yep, that's
true.
Is
that still happening in the university system?
It happens to a degree, but the resources just are not there anymore to have a full coverage. If I think of my old faculty at Victoria, I think the staff are about half what they were when I started in 2011, and it's far lower numbers than it was when it was a teachers' college in Karori.
So the bottom line is, are teachers, primary teachers, during the course of their training, being taught to teach mathematics, science, reading, any number of things?
Those things are in the programs, but they're so thinly covered that it might be something like 16 hours on literacy or something of
at
that
all?
Order.
In a whole year?
Yes, yeah. A formal coursework, and then they're in the classroom, of course, practicing doing that. But again, if their associate teacher has themselves been trained using ineffective methods, that's not really going to help.
How does this sit with the current curriculum review that's underway? Sorry, the teaching, what the hell is it called? The practice of teaching or whatever that the government has just spent several years reviewing in conjunction with other interested parties. I'm just trying to think of its exact title. It's a practice model, the practice model.
The common practice
model.
I know what you're talking about. Thank you for rescuing me.
So how does what you've found here and what is happening in practice in the preparation of teachers sit with what teachers are supposed to be doing in the classroom and sit with what that model has been working on?
Well, the common practice model will certainly influence the way any teacher training institution approaches teaching, because teachers will have to adopt it.
Yeah, but
the common practice model itself is a catastrophe. The numeracy part of it has no structure to it at all that I can see. And
it's still high level, we should say.
It's still high level. Okay. We should cut them some slack. They haven't produced the final version.
But the question
is whether
what you're expected to do when you land in a classroom, whether you are prepared for that before landing in the classroom.
Yeah.
This is what we come back to.
Yes.
Right. So you've talked about the concerns about the mentoring. You've concerned about the lack of specific teaching of of how children learn,
yes,
and the lack of specific how to teach various subjects.
That's right.
I'm interested in one of your proposals, though, to fix this.
Mm.
Tell me what you say needs to happen.
Yeah, so here it gets a little bit complicated, right? Because I talked about the standards of the teaching profession, and that this is the, kind of the key to a teacher being fully certificated and being lawfully allowed to practice. So at the moment, those standards are incredibly vague, and the assessment processes against them are very weak. It's based on a report from the school at which a teacher is employed. And look, there are strong incentives on schools at the moment not to fail people, because then they lose a teacher who they probably can't replace. We've got an enormous teacher shortage. So the standards need to be much tighter, and they need to ensure that any teacher who meets them is classroom ready. And they just don't. Now, the question is how to fix that. And it must be tempting, I would say, for a Minister of Education who was reform-minded, who would like to actually see the science of learning there and much more tight requirements on what teachers have to be able to demonstrate they can do before they get certificated, to say, okay, here's some legislation, we're going to make you put this stuff in. The trouble with that is that it politicises the teaching profession.
You don't want the Minister of Education dictating this.
So goodness knows what would happen
so
over time.
Work? What would work?
So what we're proposing is that we actually allow there to be multiple professional bodies for teachers.
You see, this is what struck me. It's kind of a leap.
And
I don't mean this pejoratively, it comes from an ideological perspective that competition is good and it sorts out the good from the bad. But is that really in this specific, I'd love that to happen for supermarkets.
Yeah, yeah.
But in this environment, is it going to make anything better?
Well,
are you wanting competition or are you wanting collaboration?
Well, you want both. And so... You know, this idea needs to be seen in the context of teacher education itself. Also, so the vision.
Where are the universities supposed to provide the competition?
Well, they compete with one another, but their model is pretty much the same across all the universities. So,
don't we want to get the right model?
Yes, we
and
do.
And universalise it rather than have a whole bunch of models.
That's
and good
right.
luck to you where your teachers come
well,
from.
Well, actually, what you need to do is measure the outcomes and publicise them. And that becomes the mechanism by which you can see which ones are working. And I'm not saying this is a quick fix. It's not. I thought this through for long and hard because, as I said before, I don't want to see the teaching profession politicised, but I do want to see a big improvement. And it's hard to see how you bootstrap that from where we are now. Now, I have seen another program of teacher education. These are schools in Auckland who are partnering with Waikato University.
Yep.
Now, that model has its flaws largely because of a messy fit between the Waikato program and what the schools are doing. But I like the idea that these teachers in training are in the schools full time. Now, if they had a little provider that had its own qualification that fit with their philosophy, and here's the other part, I'd like to see them collaborating with schools that are in struggling communities so that we actually do collaborate across the system.
Michael, thank you very much. Michael Johnson of the New Zealand Initiative.